Where are we going? What?
1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to pick up at 22 only because we get a running start, but we won't labor too much on those verses because we did go over that. So 1 Corinthians 1, 22. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. And we found out the reason why the Jews required a sign was because that's how God began dealing with them. God had to demonstrate his power so they would act. And you notice the signs were always associated with, in Israel, was associated with God making himself known to them and preparing them for deliverance. That's how they would know that God was in their midst, because they would see the signs, the miracles, and the wonders. And all they had to do was what?
Believe.
That was something they had to do, was believe. And if they didn't believe, how many the scripture said that out of Egypt came 600,000 besides women and children? And when he instituted the Passover, do you think there were some Israelites who didn't go out or come out?
Probably some didn't put
that. As a matter of fact, some of the Egyptians came out. Mm-hmm. It was a mixed multitude. And when they got out and they got into the wilderness, and even though they witnessed the deliverance coming out of Egypt, they still, right after that, they started to ask for more signs. Can God do this? And he would say, do this, Moses. Smite the rock, or whatever he would do. And he said, well, can he give us food? And then he would rain manna from heaven. And he said, well, can he give us meat? He'd give them quail. They always, all these signs that God's constantly showing his ability, his trustworthiness, his faithfulness, to not only to deliver them, but to sustain them.
So, were they whining so much every day or every other day, and that's the reason they turned their back on Moses? Because he left for 40 days and nothing was going on.
They always...
Except the usual things that God was providing.
Exactly. Even when Moses was in the mount, he's still pillar. He's still protecting. Right.
Himself.
He's right there. Yeah. And they said, well, we don't know what happened to this Moses. And he says, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, we don't know what happened. And before he even gets, he's coming down, and Joshua's right there, and he says, I hear the shout of those for mastery. That is, he thought they were in a war and fighting. He says, that's not war sounds. They partying. And when he gets down there, of course, they have the calf there. And Moses asks Aaron, he says, what happened? Yeah. He says, well, the people made me do it. And and I took their jewelry and I threw it in the fire and boom. Abracadabra, there it is. That's what he said. And the scripture said that they sat down to eat and drink, which was to observe what the Lord had done for them. They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They rose up to play, right? Party. They rose up. So, how quick they forget. That's why, way over here.
It just reminded me from our lesson on Sunday, the church of what's happening now.
The church of what's...
The church of what's happening now.
And that's why, Paul tells us that we walk by
faith,
not by sight. Because he knows our attention span is short. So if you're looking for the next big, what's happening now? If you're looking for the next big deliverance, you get frustrated. So you have to rely on his promise that he's given us, that we talked about Jacob last week, where the Lord had told him up front, he says, I'm with you. I won't leave you. I'm going to bring you back to this place. I'm going to give you this land. And he wakes up and he says, well, if you get me out of here, Lord, and you bring me back, then
I'll give you 10%.
Then you're worthy of 10%. And God had already promised him that.
Yeah.
Now, if he believed the word, he wouldn't have to have those signs and miracles of deliverance.
Yeah.
You know, when he went to meet Ishmael, Esau, when he went to meet Esau, we'll get back over here in a second. When he went to meet Esau, and the Lord had already prospered him. He had a family. All his family, he had all the goods, all the cattle, and he was scared that his brother would kill him. And so what he did was he sent a company in front. And he sent three companies in front of him. He was the third one. And he says, well, listen to this guy. If they kill them, then we can get away. And if he killed the second batch, then we can get away. Guess what? He's in the last company.
He's out.
Can you believe that? Here's a man who has no trust at all.
Even though God's given him all that.
Right. He's all this substance, and he's going. He says, well, it might be that when he sees the first company with the gifts, then he'll be happy. And God had already told him, he says, the elder shall serve the younger. Why does he have to do all this?
No faith.
He doesn't believe. He doesn't believe the record that God gave him. And the Jews required a sign because they didn't believe. If Moses showed up and he says, the Lord God of your fathers sent me to deliver you. Case goes, right? Let's go. The scriptures say that Moses thought they would have understood how God would deliver them by his hand. But they didn't. And even when he did the signs and the miracles and wonders and they came out and identified with him, they still fell off. Unbelief is, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, called it, he said, beware lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's what you have is his word to rely on. And the Jews require a sign. You know, when the Lord showed up, he said this, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Not a righteous and holy generation, an evil an adulterous generation. What does that say for us today as believers, as a whole? What do we do as a whole? When I say believers, professing Christians today, where they all look for what?
Signs.
What does that tell you about the state of their faith?
Low.
It's weak. Low.
And their study skills.
Because number one, it wasn't written for us. We're not the assigned seeking people. We should not be. And he said the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. Well, we already talked about how they considered the okay. Was that
surprise somebody coming?
They considered Greeks considered the resurrection foolishness. But bound up in Christ, the preaching of the gospel, bound up in that is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Verse 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Stumbling block. We talked a little bit about that, where the Lord said that even from the beginning, when they came out of Egypt, Moses said this. Moses, being a prophet, he says, our rock is not their rock. Capital R. Our capital R rock is not their rock. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. And he wasn't talking about Peter either. He wasn't prophesying about Peter either. Or 1 Corinthians 10, 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that. Of that what?
Spiritual
rock that followed them. And that rock was who?
Christ.
Was Christ. That rock that Moses spoke about, he said, that rock was what? Christ. They were all partakers of his grace back there. He led them out. He led them out. Who led them out?
Christ.
He led them out. How could that be Christ? He's not even born yet.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was there when he was making the earth.
Well, that's the point is, that's why Christ crucified is the wisdom of God and the power of God, because in that body was who?
God.
Oh,
I see.
They may look at him and say, they stumbled over him. He says, behold, I lay in Zion a
rock of offense.
They look, because they looked at him and said,
nothing good comes out of
that. It can't be him. It can't be.
Nothing good comes out of that.
No way. And he's showing them with the what?
Signs and miracles.
All right, look at Luke chapter 4.
And you know the power of God has come unto you.
Luke chapter 4. Verse 23. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases.
Luke chapter 4, verse 23, did you say?
Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Did I say Luke?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Matthew chapter 4.
We were close.
Matthew.
I was there, Frank.
I was in the right circle, right?
Right. Matthew 4, 23.
Matthew 4.
You were in the right testament.
And 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Now that was prophesied. That was the signs that they would recognize that God was with them. that he would come and he would do these things. So when they see Jesus doing these things, if you are a believing Jew, what do you know?
The king's here.
Now, if you're not, what would you do? You take up stones to stone him. And what did they do? They took up stones to stone him. They stumbled at that stumbling block. Back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." To them that are what?
Called.
You think when he shows up and they heard him. They heard him speak. They saw the baptism of John, but they heard him speak. And Peter and Andrew went and found his brother. He says, "We have found him of whom the prophets did speak." All right, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm right this time. John chapter 1. And this is what Karen just said, that this is a little bit down, but we'll look at that too. John chapter 1, verse 35. And again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" I love this passage, because we'll just read on here. "He saith unto them, Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom" what?
Moses
"in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, he almost stumbled, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "You come and check it out." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now there's an Israelite. He said, "In whom is no guile." He didn't have ulterior motive. He was sincere. He almost stumbled, didn't he? Because he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And the Lord showed him a sign. He says, how do you know me? He says, I knew you before Philip got you when you was under the fig tree. That's a sign. How did he know that? That's why Philip, he made the connection, Nathaniel, he made the connection immediately. And he says, you're the man. And he says, just for that you believe? Thou shalt what? See greater things than these. Which a sign should what? It should strengthen your faith for them. It should strengthen the faith. It shouldn't cause them to stumble more. Should it?
No.
That's why the Lord said this. He says, whosoever this stone falls on, it will grind him to powder. And they stumbled at that stumbling stone. In 1 Corinthians, he says, But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Everything that, you know, I don't think people really, I know they don't. I know most believers underestimate the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because they look for, you know what they look for? Miraculous events. And they look over Christ for the sign.
Yeah, Christ had all the attributes of God.
That's, look, the whole plan of God is bound up in Christ. Mm-hmm. Is it not? And when they look over that, looking for, when Peter, yes. Oh, I thought you, when the Lord took Peter, James, and John up to the mount, and he did something. He transfigured himself. And he did that because they had rejected him as a whole, as a nation. And the people that were following him, they saw these things. They knew he was the Christ. That's who do men say I am? He said, some say this, some say this, some say this. He said, what about you, Peter? And Peter said, oh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when he goes up there, he transfigures himself to what is that? When he transfigures himself, what is that?
Shows his glory.
Yeah, what is that?
He's pulling the curtain back.
What is that, though?
Right.
Sure you will. We're talking about it right now. It's a sign.
Oh.
It's a sign. He's showing them something so they can strengthen their what?
Faith.
I'm the right guy. When John was in prison, why do you think he said, go ask him if he's the one? Or should we what?
Look for another.
Because John knew what?
He knew he was in prison.
He knew he was in prison. And he knew if that's the Lamb of God, if that's him, the Messiah, we're supposed to be on top, not on the bottom. You know what John said? I could do bad by myself. He's like, go ask him, is he the one? And he said this, go back and tell John what? All the things that you see and hear me doing. Tell him about the signs. And he went back and he said, and that sufficed him. He knew then, he says, well, that's the right guy. Because he believed. When he transfigured himself, right? And when they get through, and in Peter, when Peter writes 1 Peter, he says, we are not preaching to you cunningly devised fables when we declared unto you his excellency. He was supposed to come back and reign. And he says, but we were with him in the holy mount. And we saw it. Saw what?
The sign.
We saw it. We saw it. We saw the sign. But he said, look at 1 Peter.
More sure word of promise.
Will what?
More sure word.
A more what?
Sure word.
More sure than what?
Than what they had seen.
Are you sure? Let's see. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 16. He says, verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. But we were what?
Eyewitnesses.
We saw that sign. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you, what?
Take heed.
As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So here's Peter when he's writing to his people out here. He says, we saw the sign. We were with him. We heard it. But we're just not banking on that experience. We're not just banking on that sign, because now that we saw that, but we have something even better than that. The prophets wrote about this. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Because you know what? In Revelation, when the Antichrist is out and he begins to work through the man of sin, he's going to call down fire from heaven. He's going to have bodies raise up. He's going to give a statue life. If I'm a signed believer, guess what I'm going to do?
You're digging a hole.
You're digging a big hole. Because that's what he wants. He wants to do those things to deceive you. And matter of fact, he says that he deceives the whole world by all the signs and the miracles that he does.
And lying wonders.
That's what they'll... If you believe that...
Start digging that hole.
That's... And what we're doing now, we don't realize that what we're doing now as believers is when you start looking for signs, you're just digging a hole of unbelief. Because it's got to be bigger than the last one. The church, what's happening now, right? Because you know what? There's a guy in Detroit. And he comes on down here. He used to. Wayne T. Jackson. And he used to... 1 week it was holy water. And he had gallons of it, like those jugs. He had gallons of it. Do you ever seen that, Mike? He had gallons of it. It was holy water. And people were buying it with both hands. And you know what? I'm sure it was just tap water. But he's prayed over. He's blessed it. And he had jugs, just gallons of it. He was selling it. It was all lined up like more than a supermarket. And these people sign-believing people, I got to get a jug of water. I got to get that jug of water. And then when the water bit ran out, he started selling blessed handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
So then it was...
Yeah, I remember him.
Then he's like, got to get you a handkerchief. You got to get your... And then he got the handkerchief bit going. I don't know what he's on now. I haven't seen him in a while. But it's... Look, if God could bless the water, couldn't he bless the water? I mean, did he have to switch up? He didn't have to switch up, did he? Well, that ran out. Well, now he gave me a handkerchief. So, like he, you know what, like the new and improved blessing.
Right.
It used to be the water, but this is better.
Something new to buy.
Right. But it's those. That's what I said. What's happening now? It's you got to go up. You got to go up in the
It's like addiction. You got to have more and more.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of I can't think of where I'm making a word up. You got to go up in the tantalization of the whole situation. It's got to be more exciting, right? So that's what they look for.
It's more promotion of the same thing.
Yeah. You know, like if you've been buying this detergent for years and it's been working. So if they feel like the sales are getting low, now they got to come out and say, this is new improved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you think,
technology.
Well, what's wrong with the first batch? You mean to tell me it wasn't that good? It's new improved. And that's what a sign believer is. He's always looking for the next sign.
Gotta get more out of it.
And yet, he has nothing. Because he's always looking. When Jesus was going through, we'll go over here in a minute. When Jesus was going through his ministry, and he said, all these people followed him. And then he gets to a point and he turns and he says, you guys are following me because you're seeing these things. He says, but you don't believe. He says, and some of you don't believe. And you know what's funny? He said, and after that, after that time, they followed him no more. What's that?
Oh, called him out.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, that's all it took? It's just to turn around and say, you guys not following me for the right reasons. Some of you don't believe. And they just...
Okay.
just walked off. And I thought, wow.
They heard about the bread.
That's right. And what's... You know what's funny? Is that verse is John 6:66. Just... side note. But...
Right.
Nothing to it. But he says, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And you know who declares that to us now? It's Paul. Well, he's writing that. He said it was more than just Joseph's stepson. It was more than Mary's son. It was more than Jesus of Nazareth. It was God implementing the wisdom of God and the power of God through that body. Accomplishing everything that he needed to make us who we are. That's why he's writing to the Corinthians. They had gotten sidetracked from the gospel. And in the gospel is your identity. It's you find out who you are through the gospel. You find out who God wants you to be through the gospel. Because he has done something with Christ to enable you to be what he wants you to be and to do what he wants you to do. But without that Christ, you don't appreciate that. That's in Hebrews, he said this. He says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. And we talked about that. He said, but a body hast thou prepared for me. He says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. You know what he means by the volume of the book? From cover to cover, it is written of me. He says, I've come to do what?
Thy will.
Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish. He taketh away the old, that he can establish
the new.
You know what the new is? The new is this. The old is this. You do it on your own. The new is this. I'm going to enable you to do it. I will enable you to do it. He taketh away you, that he may establish him. You can't do that. You can't. You want to serve him. You want to be in the family of God. He said, you don't get this on your own. And that's why he said, look, Christ. Christ, the what? Power of God and the wisdom of God. Who could help him?
God.
That's who it was.
You know, all those words you use, you know what the most two popular words there are with advertising companies?
No. What?
You said them over and over. New and sale.
New and sale?
Yeah. Those are the most powerful two words in advertising. As you said a while ago, new.
New and improved, or new and sale. Okay.
New and sale. Women recognize that word, sale.
Oh, sale, S-A-L-E. Okay.
And they also recognize the word new. As you said, new and improved. If it's got new or sale, those are the most powerful. And where do they get those two words from? Right here in this book.
Is that true? Sale. Sale.
That's why.
Well, but he says this, 25. That's 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, you know what? If you thought you were qualified, you know what you say? That's why he picked me. That's what you would. You'd say.
You'd be bragging.
You'd be bragging.
Prideful.
Because you know what? He saw in me something good. So he picked me. You know, that's one thing. I hope I don't say this the wrong way, but that's one thing I question about preachers is this. They says, well, do you think God would put a man up and cause him to lie?
No.
Do you think God would call a man and enable him and anoint him and enable him and put him in the pulpit and have him preach a lie?
No.
To deceive his people, to rob his people of what they have in Christ. You think God would do that?
No.
That's why I have when people say God called me to preach. Yeah. And yet, they have the wrong message. And not only that, they have the wrong motive.
It's
kind of like that preacher that was him and his wife. They got a call, and he says, "Honey," he goes, "I got this brand new church, and they got all the money. We're gonna get a new car, a new house, a new everything. And let's go pray about it." And so they go upstairs and they go to pray, and then he starts walking down the stairs, and she goes, "Well, where are you going?" He goes, "Well, I'm gonna go pack," because he.
instead of praying for him.
His mind's made up.
Praying is optional.
Yeah, so a lot of people are called, think they're called when they're not.
That's and that's the thing. It's
convince themselves that they are.
I think the old saying that says, "Some called, some sent, and some just got up and went,"
yeah.
Something like that. But you know what? It's and they when you look at that, they are all up the ladder, very prestigious,
mm-hmm.
aren't they?
It's high end.
He said, "You see your calling, brethren." He says, "What? You see your calling, brethren, how that not many what? Wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called." That's the exact opposite of what we see today. So if you didn't know anything else, that would tell you what?
It's phony.
That's phony. Thank you. That's a this man's not called. Because you know what? Here's a man, he said, you look at this, you say, that guy's got 5,000 members. You can't tell me God didn't call him. I'm just saying anybody in general. And yet you see a man who you know is called, and when he leaves, he's got maybe 5 members. And they're scattered around.
That's an experience.
So you have to ask yourself, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
They tell us the opposite of what they tell you to look at this, not to believe this.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord goes through his ministry, all the whole region heard him. Nobody could deny that he did the signs, the wonders. He says, they said, it was never done this way in Israel. That's what he told them that. They were among themselves, and he says, this must be the Christ. Has it ever been done like this before? They heard him. They said, you know what? They wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? They saw that. We cannot deny that a good deed had been done this day. They're seeing all these things. He draweth away the people. They see it. We cannot deny that this is him. All this evidence stacking up. And he goes through and he gets through his ministry. And at his cross, they all cheered. They were all together protesting against it.
No.
Where were they?
They were hiding.
They were hiding. Wonder why?
Scared.
They you know what? They were scared, and they were what?
Faithless.
Well, they believed.
They were not enough.
They were disappointed, and they were ashamed. Peter was, you know, most people, they say, well, Peter was scared, that's why he didn't. No, Peter was ashamed of him. He was just in the garden and cut the man's ear off. That's not a guy that's scared. But when they led him away and he saw, you know what, he's probably sitting there thinking, do something.
That's what they all thought.
Might. Do something.
Power.
The wrong. And he didn't realize that, you know what, that's great power being displayed.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter's like, do something. And they were sitting there and they were like, he said he was the Son of God. Let him come down from the cross. And then they smite him and it says, prophesy, who smote thee? Oh, you know what? He's nothing. He's nothing.
Taking him on.
And they don't know in that time frame that the great, exceeding great power of God is being displayed.
Yeah.
Right there.
They were thinking of a Samson coming off that cross.
That's what
they were looking for.
They were right. And yet it's being displayed right there. A couple of people got it when they looked at it, said after the fact. He said, what?
Surely,
that's him. But you know why they believe that? Because all the signs that surrounded it.
Yeah.
And the one guy, he says, remember me when they come into your kingdom.
That guy hanging next to him.
And you know what? This day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He got it. Right there with him. In weakness. Wonder what he saw that the rest of them didn't see.
He had more faith than
meekness. Strength under control.
You know what he saw? He saw, I bet you that he saw that suffering like a man. He saw him enduring the suffering that can only coincide with a higher purpose. You understand what I'm saying? You know what? Rambo. You ever seen Rambo? I like that movie where he went in to take pictures of to see if there were captives in there. But he goes in and he finds some captives. Well, the people that sent him said, just take pictures. Don't try anything heroic. But he goes in and he says, I can't leave these guys here. So he goes and he tries to free them. And he gets caught and they put him on the electrocute him. They put him on a shocker bed or whatever you call it. And just punishing him to no end. And they realized that he cared so much for those people, and his objective was to protect them. But they saw that he was so committed to it that he'll die for it. And the guy finally realized, he said, you can do this all day. And he looks at the captive. And he told the captive, he said, he had a knife. He said, put it in his eye. Put it in his eye. And then when he saw that, he buckled. Because he didn't esteem himself. He was thinking of. And that's what you could think about when the Lord is doing that. He's doing it for a higher purpose. He didn't care about him. That's why he says, not my will, but he said, I'll, Philippians, he became obedient.
Even unto death.
Unto death. Even
the death of Christ.
It didn't matter. He was committed to getting that job done. Because in that job, in the cross, was the what?
Wisdom and power of God.
How can... Shall I not drink this cup that my Father giveth me?
That we all depend on?
That we all depend on? Shall I not drink this cup?
Please.
He has to.
Yeah.
That's where, you know what? That's why I said this. Why do you think the Lord had him grow up in Nazareth? If he had been in Jerusalem, they would have said, that could be him. That could be him. But he's got him in the lowest class city that the Jews know. Not in Galilee, in Nazareth. And they... Can any good thing come out of Whitehaven? come on. You get it now, don't you? Right? And that's what... This is...
Frazier.
Right. And you think about that. And he says, that's him. That's him. That's where he's coming from. Not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble. He's chosen, look, first verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring things which are, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And he does that. He does it. He picks the nobodies on purpose. Not for salvation, for service. For service. The Corinthians are already saved. So
these guys on the street corner.
Listen, the most guys who have influenced me, my preachers, friends, two of them didn't have a high school education. And they know more scripture than, they probably forgot more scripture than I know. And besides that, they're sincere. It's not just up here.
It's in here.
It's... And you know that here's a man who didn't get out of high school, could barely read, and the Lord works in him and enables him to not only read and retain it, but also he's a faithful witness. And all you can say is, look what God did. Look, there was a guy in Detroit. He was a preacher. He was old. He couldn't read at all. And my uncle used to do this. He would sit down and he would read him the passage. And he'd read the passage and he said, stop. He said, that what it say? He said, yeah. He said, read it again. He read it again. He said, that what it say? He said, yeah. That's all he had. He would read it. He would retain it. And then he said that was one of the most powerful preachers around. He couldn't even read on his own. But now you take a guy with a college degree, know what he going to do? He going to read and say that. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Now what that means in the Greek is this. He says that he gonna talk you right out of your faith. He gonna say this. He said, well, see, the structure of that sentence is this. And then you say, well, this reminds me of something. We were in the Bible class on Saturday, and it was a guy who had just gotten saved, maybe a couple of months, and he's reading, and it was Romans 8. And he says, therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the guy said this. He says, now that's an interpolation that all the books say. You know, all the books say this, commentaries. This is an interpolation. What that is, that the scribe wrote it down, and then he took a verse from another part and put it on there because his eye moved over and he wrote it. So that shouldn't be there because he had a problem with this. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, because it sounds like it's conditional. Right. So they try to, you know what, if you don't understand that, what do you have to do?
Study.
You should. But.
Reason it away.
Reason it away. So that's what he did. And the guy said that, when he told him that, and I'm sitting right there, I was like, Why would you say that? A few weeks later, he comes back and we're reading something, and he said, that verse came up, and he says, that don't mean that, do it. In front of all these men sitting there, he said, that ain't supposed to be there, right? That's wrong. That's a mistranslation, right? And I thought, that's it. That's it, because he met somebody who was wise in his own conceits, that he could sit down and say, well, that don't mean that. Trust me, that don't mean that. That doesn't mean that. And he takes that. So when he goes home and starts reading, what do you think he's going to do? When he gets to a passage and he doesn't quite get it, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to that, or he's going to call up somebody and say, what does this mean? And yet,
he didn't straighten this guy out, right?
He has to he has to believe the word, that the power wouldn't rest in his own wisdom, but in the power of God. Thanks be that you received the word of God. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which what?
Worketh effectually in you who believe.
That what?
Worketh effectually in them who believe.
That question it.
That believe.
That doubt it.
That believe.
That correct it.
That believe.
That what?
Believe.
Believe. That's why he says, I've chosen, I want you on purpose, because you're not going to undo what I'm doing. I'm not going to send you out and you're not going to undo, you're not going to punch a hole in the bucket. That's what, don't we do that? It's, you go, you're going to go and undo everything with your 2 cents.
You got a better way.
You got a better way. And God says, I don't want him. Remember when Gideon was, when God was getting ready to send Gideon to battle? He said, you get these men together. He said, when they go down, he said, if he get down there on all fours,
you have that water.
I don't want him.
What's it cut their hands?
You know what? It was vigilance. See, if a guy get down, look, if... I said 2. Can I get one more verse? He says, well, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory
in the Lord.
You know what? From that, you got the whole thing right here. He has made unto us wisdom. Who thought of the plan of salvation?
God.
What'd you add to it?
Nothing.
Nothing? Wisdom. What? Righteousness. How are you doing anything today that you could say that I'm doing this, that God is, he's finding me righteous?
No. I'd be a fool.
Where's your righteousness?
In Christ.
It's in him. How'd you get it?
He gave it to us.
Huh?
He gave it to us.
A stronger word is he imputed it to us. His righteousness, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Are you getting that? You know what? We're all, why do you think he saved us? We're sanctified right now. And that's, the Corinthians were sanctified. They just didn't want to be sanctified. And you know, they said, well, God set them apart. And he says, I set you apart because I wanted what? But they were getting some conflicting information. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, what else? And redemption. You know where you're going? Do you know how to get there? Do you know how to get there?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and you're, you do you know how to get there?
Yeah, Christ.
Through Christ.
Wait.
Wait. The Lord himself shall
descend.
And he shall, we shall be caught up. We not we shall go up on our own. He's coming what? And he'll seal the deal. That's what I said. You got nothing on this.
He's
done it all. He's done it all. And that's why he says that if you glory, you know what you do? Thank God that he thought it, he executed it, and he sealed it for us.
Amen.
Our motivation to serve.
That's it. And we'll pick up in chapter 2 next week.